Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Let's just start the show with a maniacal laughter.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 383, Ham Gundam. I'm Savrin.
I'm Fuzz.
And we're recording at Fuzz's table this week because Shiva had a last second thing pop up and we weren't able to record at her place. So we are here and we're still recording. We are full of Whataburger. Our allergies have yet to kill us, though it's starting to get that time of year in Texas.
Oh god, I ran out of Claritin. I really should go out and buy more.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a good thing I'm not at Shiva's tonight, because I didn't take allergy medicine today.
Yeah, because I was there a little earlier, and I was starting to have some issues. So, now I'm not, and now we're here, and there's no animals around. Yay.
Well, we have the puppy.
You have the puppy, but he doesn't shed that much. And he's not in here, so we can poke fun at Ajax.
Doesn't shed that much. Have you seen our shower drain? That's actually mostly Tyrion because he has long hair.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, our shower at home gets panther clogs. It's kind of gnarly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also really gross when you're at the fucking gym and the thing's clogged. And it's like, oh, God.
It's not even someone I'm fucking's hair. It's just random dude hair. Ew.
But yes, the Not a Wolf account tweeted, "The human body is just a Gundam made of ham. Send tweet." So that is the genesis of this week's title. It's been an interesting couple weeks in the world and the fandom. We have a massive group of rich, arrogant, soulless fuckheads trying to bring about Armageddon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All the Israel
I
stuff.
I have the memory of a mayfly, so you were like, the last 2 weeks, and I was like, that was a lifetime ago.
I know. That's the thing. That's why I make sure that I throw notes into the show chat.
Good thing. Somebody on Twitter yesterday said 2016 was 10 years ago.
I believe it. Or the, did you know this morning was 600 days ago?
I hadn't seen that one. That's a good one.
That's the whole genre. Because sometimes it really feels like that there's so much stuff coming at your head. And it's just like, what in the world is going on? But yeah, it's been pretty wild. Lots of awful, weird shit happening in the world. Stuff in the fandom happening that's been amusing. Non-furry Lion King kids thinking that they can draw up things that define gender as a binary using lions, which are completely not.
Is that where they originate the Lion King fandom, that artist?
No, but
they use lions.
Yeah, that artist is a Lion King fan artist.
Right.
But yeah, they're just some dumb kid, some edgy-ass child who decided they were going to draw pastel lions. We'll get to that. And then, so also we're going to touch on FA banning folks and drinking at furry cons. So,
yeah.
Wheel of Morality, turn, turn, turn. Tell us the topic that we should learn about. So who's going to start out? So, BLFC this last weekend.
Bulfa,
yes. Apparently it was a hell of a good time. Lots of people showed up. People had a lot of fun.
Yeah, Tyrion said he had a pretty good time, if I recall. So Tyrion went out to BLFC last weekend, came home, and tonight he flew out to the D.C. area to go to a friend's wedding.
Okay.
So basically, I've barely seen Tyrion, and I realized that I was like, I haven't talked to him at all about how BLFC went. Like, I telegrammed him on, like, Sunday of the con. I was like, so are you having a good time? And he's like, yeah, it's great. And I was like, okay. But I have zero details.
Yeah, me neither. Other than the musical theme went really well, that Foxes and Peppers put on a really good show, was very well received.
Tyrion asked me if I wanted the CD when he was registering. And because I said I did, because I have all their other stuff, he regged super sponsors so that he would get the CD. So I got the CD, which is cool. It's very nicely designed. It actually has a like a full booklet and everything in it.
Has like the lyrics and stuff?
I think it did, yeah. Cool. I flipped through it once, but yeah. Yeah, it actually does. It's got character art because it's a musical, so yeah. There's all different characters and stuff like that. So, which is pretty, it's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I didn't hear much out about it. Like, there was a couple minor drama incidents which were found and handled by the con.
Right, yeah. But, well, we should talk about the one because it actually had a positive resolution.
Yeah. I don't know the full details of it. I just know kind of how it wrapped up. There was two fursuiters decided to mock a, like, 10-year-old girl for having something that's off the shelf.
Yeah, she had one of those, I guess, Walmart or Target off-the-shelf, like, tiger heads and a little tail. Then, yeah, like I said, it's a 10-year-old girl there with her parents. And there were two mouse fursuiters, reportedly, like, bullied her over the quality of her fursuiting.
Yeah, and, like, she was wanting to be part of the fursuit shoot or something. And, like, of course she's a fucking 10-year-old. And the good thing is the convention did find the two people. They were kicked out.
Yeah.
Their badges were revoked. And there was a
mild, rumor that one of them got a lifetime ban. That's unsubstantiated. That was just on Twitter.
But the convention did take strong action. And thumbs up to them for that. And the fandom really did, you know, after when everybody stopped pointing at random mouse fursuiters and going, "Burn the witch!" The fandom did actually come together and, like, get her, like, people drew her art and other fursuiters were letting her, like, wear their suit head and stuff like that. Like, ultimately, it did have a good resolution.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, kids are the future of our fandom. It showed that
the good greatly outweighed the bad. And honestly, I'm really fucking shocked that, like, two grown-ass adult fursuiters would bully a child
at a furry con. You should be like, "Hell yeah, little one. Come on."
Yeah, like, it's just so random. I mean, I remember way back in the day, MFM, this girl was there with her parents, Paddlefoot.
Yeah.
And she was, I don't know, 12, 15, something.
Yeah.
Some young kid in a tiny little fur suit. And, like, the other suitors generally loved having her there and having her in the fursuit games and everything like that. And from an outsider looking in, she seemed to be treated very warmly. And she pretty much grew up in the fandom. So hearing that, like, fursuiters were bullying someone, I was just like, what?
Yeah. Consider this, that the fact that she could have gotten an off-the-shelf, basically, fursuit partial from Walmart shows how kind of edging towards mainstream-ishness that chunks of the fandom are, at least the aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know, people want to dress up in animal costumes, and now there's factories in China churning out weird heads that are actually all right.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't think that's really going to cause a major issue for our fursuit makers because they make custom character and their quality and realism level is higher than even, like, the professional sports mascots.
Oh, yeah. There's no, you know, fursuits are definitely going to be bespoke things. You're not going to go to some random tailor at the mall and get yourself a fursuit commission.
Yeah.
But that was a good outcome from BLFC.
Yeah.
And they raised, what, $30,000 or something dollars?
Uh-huh, for their charity, yeah.
So
it was at least 30. It may have gone up. They tweeted the number. You can check out their Twitter account. It's Biggest Little FC, I think, is their Twitter handle, if I recall. But, like, I think it was something like they were at, like, 27 or 28, maybe less, and then closing ceremonies alone raised like $5,000. Even into the night, people were still dropping by and, like, donating money. So I think the one on Twitter is probably the final number, but, like, it just kept going up. So I think it's a little over 30, which is pretty awesome. What's interesting to me is that, at least as of recording, they have not released attendance numbers. They had, like, tweeted on Sunday night. They were like, "Attendance numbers? It doesn't matter. It was a good con." And I'm like, that almost sounds like they had a drop. Or that they did not exceed FWA's number, maybe? I'm not sure. Or maybe they had a massive increase and their real number is just too insane to believe.
Yeah. It was funny because I'm looking at their Twitter feed now. It's like, I predicted Vegas FurCon had at least attendance of at least one. I was there and
less than 8 billion. Yeah, that's fair to say.
I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter all that much, but
it does because nobody can update the wiki for.
Oh, true. We gotta know. We have to have that ranking of fur cons.
Well, and it's also
who the biggest dog is.
That's
not really.
Yeah, there's that. But like, what I like actually is the grid on WikiFur that shows like how many people were at each con in each year, and then at the bottom it sums it all up and was like, here's the total number of attendees at all the furry cons in X year. And like, to me, that's just neat information to have. And for me, from the dealer's side, like knowing what's going on at what cons is good information for planning purposes.
And I bet the Wakandans can make some sick fursuits.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yep, so that was BLFC. I had Tyrion pick up a magazine for me that was published out there. They only made like 200 or 250 copies of it.
Yeah, like the FF or something like that.
Yeah, it's called the Fashion Fur Collective.
Yeah,
they're I've seen on people Twitter. Talk about that. And it is a mix of artwork, photographs of fursuits, and photographs of furries. All wearing like a model shoot where they're like, so and so is wearing Levi's jeans with this kind of shoe and this brand wristwatch and stuff like that. Cool. And in the very back of it, it actually lists all that out. So like you'll have like a drawing by Art Decade, and like the clothes that they're wearing are actually based on like this actual model of pants or whatever. But yeah, it was like, you know, people being into fashion is a whole hobby of its own. And these are furries that have an interest in fashion. Mm-hmm. So they put together this, it's like a 50-page magazine. It was $25. It's printed on a fairly heavy gloss stock paper. It's actually pretty nice quality, good printing. You could tell what kind of flavor of nerd I am because I'm like...
You're judging the book by its cover, literally. The yes. Cover weight and the page weight.
Right, yeah, yeah. But I just sort of rolled right into that. But yeah, no, it's a quality product is basically what I'm saying. You know, I'm not like a fashionista or anything like that. I like to pick up printed works in the fandom that I think are interesting or unique in some way, because I kind of like to see like what other people's layout styles are, you know, what kind of printing that they've used and stuff like that, just because like I'm interested in that. That's why I backed that Zoeon magazine. It unfortunately didn't make its goal, but they might do something later on, because that was totally all about, let's do a print magazine with really high-end layouts and artwork and make it furry themed.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in that kind of shit. So that's why I had Tyrion pick up a copy of that so I could check it out. So it's pretty cool. I'll show it to you later if you
want. Yeah. The only other thing, like, this is something more of a topic, more of a fandom level topic, was just like, at one point prior to an event, there was like a staffer on stage drinking out of a bottle of some liquor on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And someone we both follow on Twitter brought this up. I was like, hey, that's not kind of cool. And this is just speaking from personal stance. Like, yeah, I really wonder what the deal was with that. Because honestly, like, if you're on staff, you really should not be drinking, especially if you're doing any sort of like official function.
Yeah. And what he was doing was part of the charity auction. Okay. He was doing, like, some intro.
Was it, like, a bit? I mean, I really wonder.
It was, like, some intro opening material before they showed the musical.
Yeah.
But the person involved, their con staff at several places, and they've done, like, charity shows and stuff like that. And so the thing is, it's not just this one person, and it's not like an isolated incident, because when you think about it, like, Kage always has his glass of wine in his hand during Kage's story hour.
He does his wine streams.
He does his wine streams, actually, whenever back when Two would do Anthrocon shows, he would often be, like, swigging out of some liquor bottle while doing it. And his and Kage's charity show at Anthrocon, it's like, yes, it's for charity, but they're both drinking all the way through it. And even Foxes and Pepper have their AD show, which really involves, like, we're going to get drunk and play music. So this is, like, I mean, runs the gamut. This is just a thing in the fan. It's a thing in culture overall. And that's sort of like this glorification and veneration of alcohol and being able to drink a lot and being funny and stupid when you're drunk or something like that. And it's something that we've literally put on a pedestal. We've put this on stage at the majority of our conventions. And it's people I like, people I don't like, people that are important. It's often for charity. It raises money. But it's also kind of like it's part of our culture, you know? And, like, you look at cons like Rainforest that basically fell apart because people got out of control, you know, and they blamed it on the drugs and the permissive culture. And we have a lot of people in, like, their early 20s and that frat boy kind of age, and people that go to the cons with the sole purpose of we're going to get a fuckload of booze and we're going to have this room party.
And we're drunk for 3 days.
And then we're going to fall off the balcony or something. I mean, I don't want to coming off all moral and Puritan and shit.
Drinking's fun.
But I'm like, drinking's fun and it loosens you up. But, like, there's certain things where I'm like, okay, you got a Fox and Pepper's AD show. It's billed as an AD show. They're going to drink. They're probably going to swear. They're going to sing their song about horse cocks.
Hell yeah.
You know that it's an 18-plus show, and that's great. At BLFC, though, it was the musical was the centerpiece of the convention's theme. It was all ages. And when the person presenting it is doing shots, apparently he was, like, dared to do, like, 6 shots on a previous panel or something like that. So whether they're doing shots or drinking out of a bottle, you know, making off-color remarks and swearing, that's a mixed audience, you know? When I'm on a panel and it's not an adult panel, I try, I don't always succeed, I'll admit I'm bad about that, I try not to swear. Like, if I'm doing just, like, intro to publishing or something like that, I don't swear. If it's not Sheath, then it's Kyle and I, and it's 9 o'clock at night, I'll feel a little looser with my language. But that's what I'm just saying. Like, I don't really think, like, swigging alcohol in front of the general audience as opposed to, like, an AD show is a good idea.
It's time and place, and also in moderation, because when you have people drunk all over the damn place, that's when you have issues with your hotel start popping up.
Yeah.
It's
and overall, furries are good about that, which is fucking frightening. When you think of, like, no, it's the business people and the Baptists and the hairdresser conventions that are really bad, and apparently dentists are off the hook.
Just something that we should think about as a fandom is the glorification of alcoholism. I mean, I totally understand, too, because for a lot of these kids, they're 21 plus, and this is their first real weekend to really cut loose after slogging through school or whatever.
Yeah, they're out of town. It's after finals or it's spring break, depending on the con. Like, usually either Fiesta or FWA falls in or around a spring break. And,
you know, just think about what you're doing in that respect. Because, you know, there are people that have caused themselves significant personal harm. Like, obviously, we don't like bringing up Two here, but he's a bad example that we're holding up for you guys. You said that you watched a video where he was basically talking about him being an alcoholic.
He made a video where he's, like, doing the I'm Two and I'm an alcoholic, basically, and being like, I'm admitting that I'm having a problem and I'm going to try to scale it back and quit. And of course, everyone was like, dude, don't scale it back. fucking quit. Because, I mean, one thing with alcoholics and drug users, you give yourself permission to do it a little bit, and you don't get better.
Because you keep escalating.
You need to just stop. And like I was telling you, it actually is an interesting. I've watched a couple of his videos because, like, yeah, like I criticize him. A lot of people criticize him. When they're discussing like a specific video or a thing he said, sometimes I like to go and actually watch what he said. And this video was interesting because his point was, you don't know how much I fucking drink and how bad it is. And then he showed at the end all the parts of the video he'd clipped between cuts. And it's just like a 5-minute segment of him taking swigs directly from a vodka bottle of straight unmixed vodka. And just drinking it like I'd throw a 2-liter of soda, you know? Yeah. And I was like, okay, so, like, good on him that he's admitting he has a problem. He clearly has a fucking problem. And, you know, honestly, best of luck to him in getting on the wagon and getting over that addiction. Doesn't change the fact that I think he's an asshole. But, you know, don't actually wish ill will on the guy, yeah. You know? But he made a tweet the other day that apparently he has permanent damage to his eyes because of alcohol. And he's just one of many that did the alcohol thing in their shtick as part of their persona for a long, long time and perpetuated that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not solely blaming Two for our culture of alcohol. I'm just saying, like, he's a prominent person in the fandom that a lot of people got into when they were younger and then carried that through.
So, I mean, that's just sort of our thoughts on the matter because, you know, we did see people discussing it on Twitter and it was enough to, you know, note down. But do consider, like, for me, I have to be pretty careful. Alcoholism runs in my family, so I limit myself pretty strictly to what I drink. I only drink socially, like, at the Londoner, and I have maybe 2 beers in a week, and that's it. Because, A, I'm a super lightweight, and B, I would rather, again, not give myself permission to drink at home by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be a pretty easy way to fall down that path. And with my family's medical history, I don't need that.
Yeah. And, you know, full disclosure, stepfather was physically abusive, alcoholic, clearly gave me some opinions growing up. I didn't actually have a drink socially till I was like 28. Like, I just did not drink any alcohol at all at that point. And even now, like, at New Year, I'll have a drink or two. At the TFF room party, I might have a drink. So, I mean, I'm talking like less than monthly. And I just don't drink that much. I never really got into it. And I don't think it's really impacted me. So, yeah, I understand. I'm not part of the culture of alcohol that a lot of people are, but it's something that, like, in the country and in society in general just seems, like, really overbearing. Like, you look at, like, hazing parties at frats and, like, people dying of alcohol poisoning. And
I had a friend of mine, when he turned 21, he got so fucking drunk he didn't remember the next two days after that.
Yeah, literally blackout.
Yeah, he just lost a couple days. It's like, you turned 21, and woo! And I was having none of that. But I wasn't down there at the time.
Yeah.
But it was just like, yeah, this friend of mine, he turned 21, and two of our other mutual friends decided, all right, well, you're going to get drunk, son. And he lost a couple days.
Yeah, and it's like, and what does that fucking do for you, you know? Like, now for the rest of his life, it's like, oh, so how was your 21st birthday? Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah.
There's just a 48-hour blank in my memory, you know? And it just, and people that do that throughout a furry con, it's like you're going to throw down the money for transportation, room registration, whatever else, and then you're just going to spend it, the whole con blitzed out of your mind.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, that would be kind of lame as hell. You go to a con, get so drunk you don't remember any of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like a suboptimal way to spend your money. You could do that at home.
Yeah, you know, just have someone
just get
you on the back of the neck with a wrench, back of the head with a wrench, and pass out on your sofa.
You know, just put on your fur, you know, get super drunk, put on your fursuit and collapse on your couch.
That,
and wake up with your dog asleep on your chest.
Don't do that. You will be fucking dead.
Yeah.
That sounds like really bad medical advice.
Yeah, that's a great way to get heat stroke.
So that's our moralizing on alcohol, you know?
It is a concern.
It's also the thing that annoys me about weed is that weed's legal and alcohol is legal, and alcohol is way more damaging. And I'm just like, people just smoked weed. Yeah.
So
be less of an issue.
Yeah. You would think they'd legalize it in Nevada by this point. Unless it is. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Why Nevada? Because of Vegas?
Well, that's where BLFC is.
Yeah, Reno.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, even when you're at a con where it's legal in the state, it's often it's hotel rules or no smoking.
Yeah.
No smoking on the property. So, like, it's not like you can fucking, I don't know, hotbox the bathroom of your hotel room or something like that.
That's why you should go for edibles.
Yeah.
So,
hotbox your fursuit.
That would be really bad because you still have to breathe in the thing. Anyways.
Can you imagine how bad a fursuit head would stink, like, forever if you did that?
It's all absorbent. And God, if you were sweaty in the time, it just seeps in with the juice and becomes this horrifying sweat weed and
like, most of the, like, have, like, a foam base that's sculpted. It's just going to suck that up. And, like, that head is never going to smell clean.
So, use edibles. Don't drink yourself to death, please. So, the next topic we're going to touch on are the quote-unquote correct gender lines.
Oh, God.
Because right. There's one thing you should always do. It's blur the gender lines. So, this person on DeviantArt put forth this thing. It is this... I'm sure you guys have seen it if you on Twitter because it's been all over the place. They put forth this image that has more words than your standard conspiracy theorist image and made sure to watermark it. It's like Cinder the Dragon something something something. They seem like they're very dumb and young.
You know, I'm really disappointed that the signature on it is not just a red thumbprint.
Oh, yeah.
That would go well with all the words.
And it really is just this awful fucking long-ass thing. Because, and it's really inaccurate, too, because it uses lions.
It's a pity they're a piece of shit, because their art isn't bad.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, men have XY chromosome, women do not. Women have XX, men do not. Men produce testosterone. This is what make man a man.
Women have women have two eggs.
And one uterus. Not more than one, except sometimes...
No, does it also say they have one uterus and one womb?
Let's see. Women have two eggs and one uterus. The eggs are fertilized by sperm, resulting in a baby. The uterus is used to gestate and baby. The baby develops into the womb. And it's, like, multiple colors, too. So, like, blue text, men, black text, do not and cannot have, pink text, wombs, egg, or uterus. And then, like, they censored, women have breast. Just one.
Mono breast.
They lactate milk and feed their food.
And feed their food.
To feed their young. Men, okay. Men cannot, no matter how much feminists tell you otherwise. Well, actually, men can totally lactate. It's a thing that can happen. Basically, this person went to, like, literally, they always like, oh, it's simple fifth grade biology. Yeah, in fifth grade, you're a fucking child, and they're not giving you the full fucking spectrum of shit here. Furthermore, they're going on, like, sexuality, they're claiming that people's, that gender fluidity is not a thing, bisexuals, asexuals don't exist. Like, it's really this over-the-top bullshit thing. And, like, it's a super... like, anti-trans, which is fucked up, and this person's, like, 20, maybe, or younger than that, and they're putting forth their facts with lions. Now, you guys, you should Google this shit, because, you know, it's pretty deep, but lions are actually pretty darn flexible. There are male lions that don't have manes. There are female lions that grow very large manes. There are the female lions that will take on male roles. If the alpha in their pack dies, there is a...
You're mixing up
No, they're...
Are they called packs and alphas?
They're pride, not their...
Pride. Trying to remember.
The alpha lion and the pride.
Right, like, yeah.
The one that gets to fuck.
The daddy lion.
The daddy lion, yes. Yeah. The Mufasa lion.
Yeah. My cub was walking too slow, so I told him to Mufasa.
And then he kicked you off a cliff.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
And as I fell, I yelled, "You were supposed to bring balance to the Force!"
That's exactly how the movie goes. But it has been very funny, though, to see them... Like, the fandom then immediately lashed upon this and just went wild. "Your straight feelings are not valid. Bisexual and dating his gender-fluid date friend. And... eat these onions. 99.8% of germs killed with pure hand sanitizer. Two drugs having sex." It's just like they...
There was another one where they replaced the whole thing with everything was about eggs.
Yes.
They're like, eggs can have eggs because they have eggs. And
then there was people drawing fan art of the lions, or there was this one where the pink lion was holding two, like, bird egg, says, "I'll be your man for tonight." And then, of course, the artist went on to, like...
create a whole other image.
Create all of which their angry-looking Lion King OC was...
They're like, "I know it has spelling errors," and then misspelled errors. And...
It's really wild, because the whole thing about this image is that this individual believes that they have any fucking say in someone else's gender identity or expression. That they can conform reality to their shitty conspiracy theory bullshit. It's really impressive.
It's got to be a lack of education.
It really has to be. And if you looked at their profile, they're just this edgelord. They're like, you know, anti-feminist. There are only two genders.
Oh, yeah. I saw, like, this DeviantArt has all the little badges.
The badges.
For clubs that you're in or whatever.
And, like, this...
and it's all, like, SJW suck and... feminism.
Is cancer.
Feminists
like
or Nazis
that.
And just, yeah.
Yeah.
All really crazy out there shit.
And it's really weird to see it in, like, sparkly pink and cutesy bullshit. Normally it's like the red and black edgelords, but I think this artist is female? I don't know. And it's really been weird that people try to do that. Because it also brought up, because their quote-unquote explainer came up and it was like, "Oh, well, I'm not being mad at, quote, real trans people. I'm being mad at, quote, trans trenders who are only trying to do it for attention."
Mm-hmm.
Which,
you know what I said about that, about bisexuals back in the day?
And gays, too. Like, "Oh, it's just a phase. You'll get over it."
Or I remember when I was bi, I heard people saying, you know, "Oh, you're just doing that to be popular."
Yeah, because people being suspicious of bi folk are... not that makes you popular, right?
Right, yeah.
And it's been a really good point that people have been putting out there that trans trenders is just a fucking bullshit term, because if you're young and you're still figuring yourself out, you're gonna try on various identities, and that's totally fucking valid. And while, like, you know, I'll totally admit I was far less than enlightened on the topic a few years ago, but I got my head out of my ass and read up on it and talked to some folks. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense, because when you have the realization that younger you is dumb as shit and trying to figure themselves out, these people are also trying to figure themselves out. And however they end up settling in as they grow older, that's fine. Like, if they are gender fluid or queer or trans or whatever, it doesn't fucking matter to you as another person. Like, it's bodily autonomy, Margaret. You know.
Brenda.
Karen.
Karen, yeah.
Chad. Brett.
Bront.
Like, and I think that that's, like, the biggest thing that people need to get. Because I've been seeing all this discourse around, like, who's queer? Who's queerer than thou? Who's actually trans and who's not? Well, it's like, well, it's really up to the fucking individual now, isn't it? Like, my particular gender expression and sexuality is my problem. Not yours, not Tyrion's, not anyone else's. Like, where we fall on our own little grids is up to us, and whether or not that intersects, like, on an interest level with the people around you, well, that's you know, that's totally your concern. But, you know, if someone's cross-dressing or they say they're trans and they're trying on identities, all right, sure, whatever. That's your thing. Doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people need to give less of a shit about what other people are doing and worry more about themselves.
So on a note of that image, I stumbled across a couple of other bad sexual education facts that were tweeted out. Like, these are like screen caps and stuff from like Yahoo Answers or somewhere on Reddit and shit like that. And one of them was talking about, if you have unprotected sex with a woman, make sure that you wash off your dick before having sex with another woman, because the first woman's eggs could get on your dick, and then you could put her eggs in the second woman and thus impregnate her with another woman's egg. Also, women shoot out eggs when they masturbate.
This is some very important science facts, thanks to Ask Reddit.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the other images, it was really funny. There was one that was like someone talking, they changed it to so that the infographic was talking about Super Mario Brothers, the movie, and how it was actually pretty cool and the set design was great. And now that it's been restored in 4K, it's actually a really imaginative movie.
Uh-huh.
Another one was the Sonic says, being hugged is great, but if someone tries to touch you in a way that makes you uncomfortable, that's no good. Using, okay, like Sonic font.
Oh, God.
I think it kind of boils down to, like, if you're not a your standard cisgender heterosexual person, I think you totally fall under the queer umbrella. Like, if you're, you know, gay, lesbian, bisexual.
This is why I would actually really prefer to just use the word queer.
Yeah.
Because the addition of additional letters actually does annoy me to a degree, because
quilt bag.
There's no way that I can remember all of them or take the time to say them in casual conversation. Yeah. And it's just easier to say queer people when you mean LGBTQIA.
Plus,
we're forgetting.
Yeah, I think quilt bag is a valid acronym now.
Yeah, because it's
unsure, intersex.
I don't even know if it all stands for something.
I think
they
it
were
does,
just like,
but
we're going to throw all the letters together and make them spell something and that. But I personally like queer, although
it's a reclaimed word.
It's sort of like black people using the N-word. Like, some black people actually really don't like that.
Yeah.
Even in their own community. But others do. And it's the same with queer. Like,
yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with describing myself as queer.
Likewise.
But there are some older people, especially the old, you know, older gay men who had faggot and queer thrown at them as insults.
Yeah.
That they haven't felt the need to take it back,
mm-hmm,
as such. So, like, I've encountered a little resistance with saying we're queer. Because you will have that occasional person that's like, don't ever fucking call me queer.
Yeah. And that's completely valid, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a matter of, like, your own personal. Like, I would say I you know, basically, I'm a big old queer. Because my, mm-hmm, sexuality is, yeah, sure. Right?
Right.
And I'm okay with using queer because I was never called queer in a derogatory way. Call a faggot? Yeah. And a homo, and a, you know, whatever. But I was never called queer in a derogatory way, so I'm okay describing myself as that. Also, I'm 30 fucking five, and, you know, people calling me words on the street, like, that doesn't happen, thankfully. Like, it totally still happens to people, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
I don't have that lived experience, and so, therefore, that word is okay for me. And yeah, I mean, hell, even asexual or aromantic people, they totally fall into the same valid, too. You know, because that's been some fucking weird discourse. People are like, oh, ace people and aromantic people are not queer. And I'm like, sure they are. They're not heteronormative cis people.
Yeah, I guess if that's the
I mean,
defining.
They deal with shit just in different ways, you know. Think about it this way. Like, if you're ace, oh, you just need to find the right person. And you get that shit just like, you know, if you're queer and you're or a gay dude and you're like, oh, you just need to find the right woman. It's kind of like that. Again,
yeah.
It's not my personal lived experience, but completely, like, does fall under that general umbrella. That's how I feel.
I know a lot less about it, and a bit of it confuses me, but there have been points in my life where I didn't have much sexual desire.
And I think it kind of circles back around to a person's, like, once you fall out of the larger, like,
we are massively straight culture,
you do fall under that umbrella. And people that are not sexual at all.
All the people that don't smell like Axe body spray.
Exactly. God help you if you, you know, get any on you, it might turn you straight. Or if you're, or if you're a lady, it might turn you into a massive lesbian. So, you know, use it at your own risk. Anyways.
I like the gun oil scent.
My flavor is Axe.
It's with an axe. It's a good episode of the last podcast on the left. Listen to that.
Yeah, it's just really weird. And it boils down to not policing other people's identities and being, and not being a gatekeeper to,
like, there was the fashion police. There should be like the fucking identity police or something.
Well, you know, or it's just like
the gender police.
Yeah. The vegan cops kicking the door. You've not been eating vegan. You're taking away your superpowers.
Chicken parm isn't vegan?
Gelato isn't vegan? So basically, worry more about yourself and accept your friends. Because that's important. Let's see. What was the next topic? Because I'm full of words tonight. Let's see.
The nice thing about being bi or pan is taking off somebody's pants and being perfectly happy regardless of what you find.
It's like, yeah, this is fine. and that's actually been a great personal bit of evolution as I've grown older. Is just being like, yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have sex with a woman until I was 30. And turns out it's pretty good.
Oh, wait, see something really interesting, though.
What?
You know, like, you know, you undress someone and they have, like two penises.
Oh, right.
And you're like, wow. So there's, like, there's feminine, masculine, and super masculine.
Yeah, sure. That'd be great. Oh, we've got a writhing mass of tentacles and a beak. Let's keep away from the beak. Her octopusois. Right. God. Man, okay, just as an aside, that show super does not hold up. Do not go back and rewatch it. It's bad.
I can imagine that it would be.
Yeah, let's just say that it was made in
a more primitive time.
Yeah. Yeah, more primitive time. That's like a good way to 10, put it.
15 years ago.
Yeah. Other than that, FA banned a bunch of Alright Dipshits, and that's fun. Because seeing the screeching on it has been a great way to continually fill my block list. It's like, yeah. Anybody screeching about it and going about Muff, Rose, and Peaches has been a great candidate for just blocking them so you never have to deal with their shit again.
Going about what and Peaches?
My Freeze Peach. My
Freeze Peach. Yeah. I just missed
it's,
her. It's a meme.
It's a may-may. A mame.
No, it's mame time, as Chef said.
Yeah, FurFinity went and banned a bunch of folks. I don't know if they're sticking, because basically FA was getting a lot of hot water and for basically allowing Nazis on the site to be like, well, here's my thing, here's my historical fiction where a Nazi goes through a portal and goes into a fur world and becomes their Fuhrer, you know, and whatever else like that. It's, you know, fucked up neckbeard bullshit. And basically FurFinity went and banned a bunch of folks, and the screeching has been going on for a few days.
Oh, the screeching. Yeah.
I mean, FurFinity is not that great a site. Like, it's kind of a mess. And they have a lot of issues, but I will give them, here, you get a point. You have done a good thing. You have cleansed the platform of some of the bad faith actors and people posting Nazi bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they've gone nearly far enough in terms of, like, curbing that stuff. But it's like, okay, you've nudged an inch in the right direction.
Yeah, like, one thing I think they really need to do is come down a lot harder on the actual Nazi artwork. Because, like, their code of conduct is, like, no material that's, like, promoting a hate organization or agenda. And the feedback on that was like, we don't want to come down on like banning all the artwork. And I'm like, if it's just a furry standing there wearing a Nazi uniform, what is that fucking saying to me? I'm like, yeah, I get that you can't tell a story like Mouse or Indiana Jones without the Nazis.
Yeah, but they're the villains.
You can't tell Magneto's story without the Nazis. So those stories need the presence of Nazis. And I'm not saying I want the admins to have intelligence. You know, I want them to have basic decision-making capabilities and not go by the strict letter of the law. If you make a rule saying no Nazi shit on the site, they should know not to ban a comic that's about killing Nazis. Like if you made a fucking furry version of Inglourious Basterds or something like that, you know, that should be obvious. But if it's just people showing off their fancy German uniforms or their lovely homemade white sheets, I'm like, that's fucking promoting the ideology in the organization. That shit doesn't have any place on the site, especially since it's in the site's rules.
Yeah,
not to have that kind of shit.
And yeah, it's like, oh hey, look, it's a furry in a Nazi uniform.
So they've definitely made some strides with getting rid of a lot of the actual shitheads, but they're keeping a lot of the art.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would fucking go through that art with a weed whacker.
FA has a proper ass tagging system, so you can't auto block that shit from appearing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, at least on E621 or hell, even Ink Bunny, you can blacklist tags and never have that shit show up. Yeah. So that the only time it does show up is if somebody's mistagged it, and then you can go in, add the tag, and the thing goes poof.
Right.
You know, I blacklisted, My Little Pony on E621 here the other day because people were just mass uploading bullshit from Derpivoru. And so I blacklisted the tag. And now
you're like, I already have a site for MLP porn. I don't need it on the furry porn board too.
Pretty much. But then there's still stuff that gets through because they're OCs, but they're very obviously pony. So then you just need to be updated with the tag and boop, there they go.
Right.
So, you know, FA, you know, they've been saying FA 2.0 is coming for the last decade. So, you know, we're never going to get proper tagging, proper blacklisting on the site. It's just one of those things that...
They did at least change the search function somewhat. It supports Boolean searches now. So, as people listen to the show know, one of my favorite kinks is spanking. And the problem with spanking is that you search for that topic on FA. A lot of people that are also into baby furs and diapers are also into spanking because the whole childhood thing.
Yeah.
There's a cross interest in that kink. But now I can search for spanking minus baby fur minus diaper, and I won't get any of those results.
That's good, at least.
So and that's something that changed in the last month. It's been very recent.
That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. They're making changes slowly but surely.
It's kind of annoying that it seems to happen so glacially. Dragoneer is the only person doing anything, right? Right?
I believe that they do have staff. I know they have a moderating team. I honestly don't know, how many people they have actually helping or anything like that.
Yeah, developing.
Just site upkeep, just moderating the people and the content would be more than a full-time job, let alone actually writing code and develop anything to improve the site. So they don't have a bunch of people just strictly dedicated to that. It's not going to get done. Like I said, I have no idea what their actual resources are at this point because it's owned by another company. So, you know, who knows? But, you know, it's good that they made some choices. And, you do a search for Furfinity on Twitter, and you can see the reactions of either yay or why am I banned?
So, shifting topics.
Add to your block list.
Yes, definitely. So, here is a News of the Weird topic for us.
Okay.
Oklahoma woman killed by pack of mixed dachshunds. Ardmore, Oklahoma. Police in Ardmore, Oklahoma are investigating after a woman was mauled to death by a pack of mixed dachshunds. Tracy Garcia, 52, was near her home on May 7th when a pack of seven dogs attacked her. She later died at the hospital. As first responders
on the scene... fucking honey badgers?
As first responders on the scene tried to help the woman, one of the dogs turned on them. Unfortunately, yes, we had to shoot one dog, Carter County Sheriff Chris Bryant told K4. It did charge our deputies, and to protect our deputies as well as the medical personnel, we did have to put down a dog. The dogs were all dachshund mixes, according to the Ardmore Animal Shelter's euthanasia technician. Six of the dogs are believed to be standard dachshunds and terrier mixes, and one of the dogs was a standard dachshund border collie mix. The dogs range in age from 1 to 3 years old. Dinwiddle told the TV station the dogs were infested with fleas and ticks, but didn't appear to have any other health issues. Neighbors say dogs running loose in the area are a common occurrence. Ryan called K4 that in the country area, there is no leash law or rule on how many dogs a person can have. As far as charges go, Bryant and the investigation said the investigation is ongoing and the district attorney has been contacted.
Were they her dogs?
No, they were apparently like a neighbor's pack of deadly wiener dogs.
That they didn't have on a leash or fenced in.
Yeah.
Anything, I guess.
Seven wiener dogs and a border collie. Or six wiener dogs and a border collie.
Jesus.
Like, that's a fucked up way to go. And people are like, oh, but they're little dogs. Like, if you have seven of them attacking your ankles and biting you, you can only slap away so many at a time. And if they're hungry and ravenous, but holy shit. Getting eaten to death by a pack of fucking wiener dogs.
Jeez, and a border collie? That's like when cops go bad.
Yeah.
They're supposed to keep the peace.
Terriers can be pretty big. That dog Gizmo that we rescued off the street, he was like 44 pounds.
Yeah.
And he was a terrier mix of some sort. He did get adopted, by the way.
Oh.
And not by us, by the way. Because I was kind of like... We did keep tabs on him.
Uh-huh.
And I was
You were doing the daddy from a distance.
Panther was.
Oh, he was too?
He was the one who was really, like, concerned because he felt bad that he had... he'd rescued the dog, but Adam super didn't like him, and he was a mess, and he had a chip. So he had to go through and do the good faith effort of trying to get in contact with his owners.
Yeah.
And they never did. Like, his chip hadn't been updated, and his last residence that the data had was Waco, Texas, which is a bit of a distance.
Yeah.
And so they went through all the effort in contacting them that they tried to do, but unfortunately, they never got any contact from the owner, and he went up for adoption and got adopted in, like, 2 days.
Oh, well, that's good, though.
Yeah, the City of Carrollton Animal Services, they run a tight ship over there, and they get animals into homes super quick.
They're on a tight ship. There'll be no bad boys here.
Yeah. Only good boys
only
and girls.
Good boys.
And, well, again, like, I was last there, and they were under 50% capacity in both small animal and large animal cages.
Yeah.
So they – well, the city adopt fee is $10, and the registration fee is $5. So, yeah, you're on the hook to any neutering, spaying, and or vaccinations that need to be done, but...
I could just do that with a pair of bolt cutters.
Yeah, the vaccination is a little bit more, but... Yeah, it's like...
You just wash them in Purell. It's like, what'd you say, 99.8%? There we go. Heartworms? I put a few in there. Worms eat through cholesterol. Keep the heart chambers clear.
Do not I'm a doctor. He's a medical doctor.
Yeah, I know.
Do not let him touch your
genitals.
That's
kind of like, this is why you eat greasy food. It keeps your aorta lubricated
so that
the blood can flow through smoother.
Yeah. So now that we're through all of our, like, topics.
Our hot takes.
Our hot takes and our hot topics. I do have something else that I do want to talk about that is a happy good thing.
Oh, okay.
I have started watching The Great British Baking Show on Netflix.
I've seen you tweeting about it.
I have tweeted a lot about it. Well, on Monday I had to dog sit Cairo and Spade, our friend Webster's dogs, in addition. So they're a handful. Cairo's like, you know, 30-ish pounds. Spade's a little bit bigger. So they're all bigger than Adam. Mm-hmm. And they all get along pretty well, but I can't leave them all unattended.
Yeah.
Because if Adam and Cairo start to wrestle, or Spade sometimes will just, like, pee on the carpet because she's like, I'm bored, fuck you. So I had to keep an eye on these little boogers. And I was browsing Netflix. I watched a couple episodes of Clone Wars, the Star Wars Clone Wars, and was kind of unimpressed. Apparently season one's not so hot. It gets better later on, but I didn't have the time.
being kind of decent. I watched the whole series.
I mean, all six seasons or so are on Netflix. And they're not that long episodes either.
Yeah, like 20 minutes.
So. Yeah, and then I watched the first episode of the 1986 Ghostbusters cartoon.
Yep.
The voice acting is really flat and weird, but it's also really interesting because it's super Japanese. The animation company, Toei Animation and Tokyo Media Sensei, TMS Animation, did a lot of the work for this. So if you have a eye for the animation style, it is super obvious that the animation in the first episode is Japanese in origin. Like how they draw the people, how they draw the faces. It's very 1980s Japanese animation style. And also with the technical design specs of how, like, they do the illustrations of the PKE meter and the ghost and the
Yeah, you mentioned that.
It was actually cool. Really cool. And some of the jokes were still pretty funny. Like, oh, God, what sort of vile dimension are these guys from? New Jersey. You know, stuff like that. And that's on Netflix, too. But I needed something upbeat and happy, and I decided to search for food shows, because there's some pretty good food shows on Food Network that I sometimes watch at, like, the gym or whatever. Delicious Destinations, Bizarre Foods, which, when Bizarre Foods is going to an American locale, it doesn't seem nearly as orientalist as it could be. It's like, oh, we're going to get the exotic food stylings of Louisiana. Ah, okay, cool. Not the, we're going to the bizarre food location of Sri Lanka, and we're going to, like, be weird about their food and their local culture. So, anyways, that is
Louisiana, actually, is quite an interesting food culture.
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't have most of the stuff they cook because they're heavy on the shellfish.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But what I can have is really good.
I had so much crawfish when I was growing up because I lived on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. So it was common there. But it was also only like 2.5 hours to New Orleans. And pinched a tail and sucked the head.
But
good
the,
shit,
the
man.
Show in question, Great British Baking Show, it has 4 seasons on Netflix. And they're all hour-long shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the most wholesome damn cooking show. Like,
their worst criticism is, oh dear.
You're soggy. Your bottoms look a bit soggy.
Was it someone's cake dry and people they were like weeping?
Yeah, like, oh, it's a bit dry. The people are nice to each other. It's got a wide variety of folks from it's from the UK, so you've got Scots and you've got, you know, and it's a wide range of ages too. Like one of the contestants in the game, Katie, she's like 17, and this is all like it's multiple years old at this point. And God, just the baking stuff that they do is just so out there, and like it's not like exotic necessarily, though. Mm-hmm. The Indian lady Chetna has like she makes some good looking stuff, and she goes pretty far in the show because she shows up in like the episode 9 thumbnail. Not that far, and she does like some heavily Indian inspired stuff because she grew up in India, but she's living in the UK now, and mm-hmm. she adds that little bit of flavor to her style of cooking. And
yeah.
You've got the old folks, and you've got the staid old Scottish guy who cooks the stuff that he likes, which is not very flavorful, but it's, you know, hearty and good. And all the people are really nice.
Keeps you warm in the Highlands.
Yeah. Oh, like the unfortunately it lost him on episode 4. He was the 3-tier pies. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, does it need to be multi-layered pies? What the fuck does that mean? No, the pies need to like stand, like be able to support 2 smaller pies on top of each other. And the Scottish guy who is still there made a haggis pie. He had the haggis in his meat pie. It was like a meat pie and then another meat pie and then a fruit pie. And there were some people that did 4 pies, and there was one girl that did like a multi pork pies, and
mm-hmm.
there was one that did 4 different types of apple pie. Like, it's so neat to see these people do this.
We like our meat based pies.
Yes. And I had a moment also where they're doing talking about you need to make 36 biscuits.
Yeah, I had to explain that.
And then when they actually got to it, it was like, oh, they're making cookies or
yes.
crackers, not, I'm thinking American-style Southern biscuits.
Yeah. You know? I don't remember what that would actually be called in Britain.
Yeah. Well, super wholesome and enjoyable to watch because
yeah.
they even on the people that fuck it up, they're nice about
it. I guess muffins.
Yeah. You know, savory muffins.
Yeah.
There we go. because even on the people that fuck it up, they're like gentle with them. They're not like fucking American television where they're like, oh, you fucked up, you suck, get out of my sight.
You know, yeah, they're the British version of Gordon Ramsay, not the American version
exactly. of Gordon Ramsay. Because, like, one of the things, they had to do these poached pear wrap things. It was like, you had to poach the pears and then wrap them in this puff pastry and put them in the oven and cook them, like, the absolute perfect amount of time so that the pear doesn't melt and the puff pastry's not burned. Also, the puff pastry has to stay on the pear. And this one guy, he'd done his pears perfectly, but he fucked it up and the, like, his puff pastry fell off. But it wasn't like the Showstopper challenge. It was like the round one stuff. So it's like, eh, you know, the puff pastry is excellent. The pears are delicious. It just, they're supposed to be together. And they were really nice about it. And he was just like, oh, okay, thank you. But there was one guy who, like, they, like, oh, you made a bit of a mess here. And the guy looked like he wanted to die.
Oh.
But Great British Baking Show on Netflix. It's good and pure. And you can totally download it to your phone.
Yeah.
So yesterday I went to the gym and watched an episode of Great British Baking Show while on the elliptical, which is fantastically smart because I'd also turned the television to Travel Channel and they were doing an episode of Delicious Destinations, which was the Gulf Coast, Louisiana. Nice. So I would have this occasional brain blip of where I'd be looking at the thing, watching the Great British Baking Show, but I'd also see, like, oh, they just poured a fuckload of shrimp into a bucket. And I'm like, what the fuck are they using shrimp on the baking show? Right, wrong show. So my brain was trying to process two different shows at once, even though I was focusing on
the
British baking show. But I'd occasionally have those moments where it's like, what? Shrimp has nothing to do with baking! The British don't have shrimp. I'm sure they do.
It's hard to get.
Yeah. The waters are colder up there. I don't think shrimp is too... I would have to look it up.
Yeah.
But that has been, like, my pleasant watching thing while on the treadmill, because the shows are all about an hour long, and that's about how long I want to run on the treadmill at any given time.
Yeah.
It's a great way to get to work your way through a series, that's for sure.
Sounds like it.
Like, I watched the entirety of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood on the treadmill at one point, because I could focus, watch the 22-minute episodes, watch the next 22-minute episode, watch part of the third episode, and be done.
Yeah.
And there you go. So there's like 40 episodes of the show available on Netflix that you can download. And I was also kind of excited. They have like over 300 episodes of Forensic Files.
Oh.
Like all 15 years or whatever of the show.
Holy shit.
So they can talk about the amazing technical advancements of like 1995.
Yeah, I guess so.
But it's like, yeah, these little like small scale murder cases that they had to use forensics to figure out and whatnot.
Huh.
Because the show, I think, ended in, like, 2011, but...
I think my mom watched that show. I've never watched it.
Well, it's my... It used to be my go-to... when I was going to the gym later in the day, because it was always on.
Yeah.
But now, whenever I'm at the gym and I see the controller at the lounge waiting for Panther to get done, I'm always like, I'm turning it to Travel Channel, I'm turning it to Food Channel, fuck you guys, we're not turning it on Fox. Man, if I could fucking find a way to block that channel on my gym's TVs, I totally would.
There's probably some kind of app or gadget.
Yeah, or they could reverse it immediately, I'm sure, but just if, like, I'm in there and it's like, beep-beep-boop. I've blocked the channel.
Yeah.
Like, I blocked this channel. You can't watch it until they fix it. I'm going to do it again next time. Ha ha. So now that we're back at it, I do actually have one anecdote of one moment of impurity from the Great British Baking Show. It was called Bingate. And there was this this flame-haired Scotsman named Ian.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge, it was a Showstopper challenge, which is the final bit of the show where, like, if you fuck up, you're the one that gets sent home each week.
Right.
And they were all having to make baked Alaskas, which are not the fascist YouTuber, but are, like, ice cream cakes with meringue on top.
Oh, I thought it was, like, when you took a dump on a glass tabletop.
No, that's something else. And it so happened that, you know, it was difficult to tell that what happened, like, did he forget to put the ice cream cake in the fridge, or did someone take it out?
Oh.
And it turned out that one of the other contestants, who I guess decided he didn't like, had taken his shit out of the thing, out of the freezer, and left it on the countertop. So when the time came for him to put the meringue on, it was fucking soup. And the cake was ruined. And he just... He about broke down crying, and he threw his entire cake in the bin, and like he was very obviously super upset. Like he had been crying in the between the things. He was super red eyed, and ultimately, yes, he was the one sent home that week. But then it turns out the next week they said, "Oh, such and such has fallen ill and will no longer be able to join us." And it had been this grandma. She was like in her 60s, who had pulled his shit out of the freezer and set it on the countertop. And put hers in. And so, like, I was like, oh no, Ian, I thought you were cute. You were skilled. And somebody did you wrong. Oh no. And then it turns out that, like, I tweeted about it. And, like, Jeeves was like, oh, you'll find out. It was not mentioned in the show. They're not going to involve the scandal. But apparently it was actually a bit of a scandal in the UK papers. Because it was called Bingate. Because... that she had ruined this man's dream of being Britain's next top baker, and he threw away his cake in a moment of weakness.
Oh.
And it was really kind of sad, because you get to empathize with these people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're all, like, characters in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, like, yeah. Real-ass talented bakers. But that was, like, Bingate.
Wow.
Yeah. But everything else so far has been nice. So...
okay.
Now we're going to go into email portion of the show. We have three emails this week.
All right. It's time to read the emails.
Yeah. You can email us at southpawscast@gmail.com. You can go to southpawscast.tumblr.com and send us a non-questions there. And here we have the first one on Tumblr. Anonymous asked a question. Savrin, you've woken up as your anthropomorphic Finnick persona. How do you continue living the rest of your life? This answer can also be answered by Fuzz and Steve if they want to. Please discuss the situation in depth one at a time, if possible.
Screechily, I guess is...
screaming constantly. So, one, I would be far better adapted for the area I live in. Finnicks are super well suited for living in hotter environments. And I would do okay here.
You'd fucking hate the winter.
I would indeed hate the winter. But Finnicks live in the Sahara and it gets pretty cold there at night.
Yeah, that's true.
So were I Anthro Savrin, that'd be pretty cool. I'd have to invest in like some bigger hoodies or get some that have like, you know, like it just goes over the top of your head, and because the ears take up so much airspace, yeah. They have like a little weighted thing that rests on your forehead. So it looks like this cool ass like headdress hoodie thing, because you don't want to do like the ear cups thing for Finnick, because you just have all this extra bullshit you gotta like stretch over your ears, and it looks like you're this fucking giant V thing.
I'd
have to get a different chair.
You could have ear holes in the hoodie, but then like in the winter your ears would get cold.
Yeah. Invest in like some scarves, and you have just wrap a scarf around your neck and your ears. Giant ear cozies. I'd have to get a different chair because I have one of those executive chairs that doesn't have any back hole.
Right.
You know, I'd have to make sure that I have, you know, proper hand paws and not the little, like, goofy bappy paws that aren't useful for anything because I have to type.
Right.
You know, my VR headset would be pretty different. I'd have to figure out a way to make my VR headset work.
Or maybe it's like in My Little Pony where, like, they pick shit up with hooves and they never explain how.
Yeah. It would probably be pretty cool. And I could scream loud.
Mm-hmm.
Eat scorpions. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I can eat scorpions now, but I don't want to.
You have that lollipop.
Yeah, and I never ate it. But yeah, being Savrin as a Finnick would probably be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Provided, like, other people were also, and I'm not, like, the lone furry in the world.
Yeah, because my immediate thought is, like, oh, if I woke up as my fursona tomorrow, in fear. That's how I live the rest of my life.
Yeah, because right? It's like, if other people were their fursona, cool. But if I'm the only furry, yeah. I don't want to get dissected in Area 52.
Right, yeah. You know, you're worried about being dissected and, like, being chased out as some sort of commodity. You're worried about, like, being fucked in half by an entire fandom of people horny for you.
Discovering the mechanics, you would learn firsthand the actual mechanics of anthro sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, yeah, probably one of the first things I'd do is be like, give that sheath a tug and be like, all right,
what's it look like down there?
Let's check this out. You know, did I go full canine? Did I get the hybridized version?
Just a weird human dick pasted onto my furry torso?
You know, it almost looks so strange.
Yeah.
At least put it in a sheath.
Yeah.
Although, you know, if you think about it, though, it's like Anthro's trying to pee standing up. With a sheath, or even trying to pee sitting down on a toilet, because it's going to be like sitting straight up on your belly, right?
Yeah,
like an actual anthro would probably have a detached sheath at least. Like if it was in a sheath, it wouldn't be attached to your belly like on an animal.
Yeah, so there would be a lot of interesting mechanics that
clearly
you'd have to figure out for yourself.
A question that science has yet to answer.
Yeah, if a dog is standing upright, how would it pee?
Like this or like this? And I imagine one is like standing like 3 feet back from the toilet and letting it arc up and down. And then the other one is I'm going to hang upside down above the toilet.
Do I understand?
Just hold my muzzle out of the way so that I don't accidentally pee on my face.
Like if everybody wakes up as whatever furry species they
That would be awesome.
That'd be cool. And then we could like nail
down. What
about
people that aren't furries? Like, there'd be all the humans in the world would suddenly wake up.
They don't feel so good.
Oh my god! Just like we didn't need them anyway.
Dude. Look, if you don't have Persona by end of 2018, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I just saw a tweet. It's like, if you're 30 years old and you don't have a Persona.
Yeah, if you're 35 and don't have Persona or 2, you're not getting head pats. You're not like...
You're not lagging.
You're not making anime real, you know. That's been a fun series of tweets to see people joking on.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're not 35 and don't have a master and have been called a good girl today with head pats, what are you even doing?
I haven't seen these.
It's like an anime cat girl one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, basically, it'd be kind of rad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she was not here, unfortunately, so she cannot... Because she would be pretty interesting, because it's a cat.
All right, yeah. Extra... How would she wear her pants?
Yeah.
Like this.
Is she going to be, like, no pants? Is she going to be full-on denim tar?
Canadian tuxedo of cats.
Yeah. Well, there's this fursona, someone's fucking Canadian ass red fox tar, but like when they wear pants, they like have this fucking denim coverall that covers their entire lower fox body, but not their upper torso, but they're also wearing like a denim jacket.
I might have seen this picture.
Yeah, and like it's not even made facetiously. It's literally like, this is my persona, and it wears a full bodysuit of denim, and it's denim tar. But you know what? Whatever floats your goat.
Yeah,
that would be pretty warm, I think. But if they're, like, in Canada, keep them coasty.
The only thing I'm worried about is that, you know, that the animal that we harvest denim from is going to go extinct.
Yeah. That'd be, that's rough.
Yeah.
So, the next email fuzz is one
for wild pack of Levi's running across the plains.
Yep.
Chased by the Appaloosas, which is where we get Mustang cars from.
Exactly. And apples.
Now I'm going to have a horse furry ride in and be like, Mustangs and Appaloosas are different.
Yep.
Pronoun ribbons is the next one that comes up. Hey, all. This is in reference to the pronoun ribbons he, him, she, her, they, them, offered by Furthermore for attendees, and how the guy writing the con report didn't take one, so there would be some left for people who really need them. I don't want to call him out or shame him or anything. I had until recently thought similarly about these ribbons. I identify and present as male, so I didn't think I needed one. But last year, I was talking to a friend who helped crystallize something I hadn't completely put together for myself, which is that the more people wear those ribbons, the easier it is for people who are transitioning or NB or have any other reason to specify their pronouns. Someone earlier this year said it's really helpful for everyone to put their pronouns in their Twitter bio for the same reason. As people get used to seeing everyone's preferred pronouns, it's less stressful for anyone to specify their pronouns. This also applies to cisgender people referring to themselves as cis. If we accept that we all need to specify some value of cis slash trans, it removes the idea that one is the default and therefore removes the idea that that one is normal. It's a really easy way for cis people to support trans and NB people simply by making space for them. Thanks for the show, Kyle. Yeah. So, yeah, I agree totally. And, you know, I did the same thing on Twitter. Like, I hadn't bothered with it for a long time because I'm not trans. And I was just like, well, I can put my other stuff in here. And then I was like, you know, Twitter added more space.
Yeah.
And I started to see other people, including you, putting yours on there. And I was like,
six characters.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to put mine on there. Because, like, in addition to that, like, people that don't know you, that are just encountering you, they have no idea what gender you are.
Yeah.
You know, my icon is an anthro wolf. So.
Mine is a cutesy fox with his butt in the air and a
and you know the
background. And I change my thing so it's like anime icon with little hearts around it that says Savern in the middle.
Yeah, and the gender of my fursona may not match my IRL presentation anyway.
Yeah.
So with furry, there's really no way to know. So yeah, for multiple reasons, I totally support doing that. That's a good point about the ribbons. Yeah. I haven't worn them before. I mean, maybe I'll pick them up
next time. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've been to a con that has had them that I've seen.
Haven Con.
Well, yeah. Well, Haven Con had them, but I don't think I wore that badge because I fucked up their handwriting on it.
Yeah, you also had a dealer badge.
Yeah.
I think. FC had them.
Not been to FC.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to remember cons I've been to that had them, and I believe FC had them. And they had the three primary ones, I guess, the he, her, and they. And then they had the blanks. And yeah, that was pretty cool. So that might be something that I'll maybe do at a future con. I'm not sure how many cons do it. I mean, I know Furthermore does, of course.
Yeah. It's one of those things that's easier to do at smaller scale. Like when it comes to, like, also, didn't they have the communication ribbon things, the red, green, yellow things?
There was, I don't remember what con that was. Yeah,
that was a recent con that somebody wrote into us about and said that they had that too.
That might have been Furthermore then. And there was also, or BLFC, one or the other. Also,
let us know.
They did that at BronyCon.
Yep.
A couple years ago. I don't think it was a ribbon, though. I think it was a badge.
It was like
you could turn it around.
Yeah.
Right.
It was like the three on a little, like a single lanyard thing.
Right.
And it went all right.
Yeah.
People were not douchebags about it because the security was handling it if they were.
There was also another con I was at. I think the publishing university that I went to did it, but there was another convention that did it where they had like a big plastic ribbon holder that had like 30 different types of ribbons in there. And like for at least for the furry con, it had all the pronoun ones, but it also had your most common species and other things you could write in, and other things about the con. And of course, you know, hero sponsor, super sponsor, panelist, staff, whatever. Mm-hmm. You got those badges too. But yeah, I can't remember one con I went to had like a big, like a party platter of ribbons that you could just take as many as you wanted.
Yeah, and they're not that super expensive. It's like 25 per 500 or so, which does add up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a huge expenditure on a convention scale.
The only problem I can see for a con like TFF is we would have to get, like, because we use the card-sized badges, they're slightly narrower than the standard-size ribbon.
Yeah,
so,
which sucks.
Yeah, so you'd have to either hang them off the sides, which there's a really limited number of ribbons you can do like that, or we'd have to see if, like, the company made, like,
slightly narrower ones.
Slightly narrower ones.
Yeah.
Or, you know, after the soap wrapping party, you have a ribbon trimming party where everyone has to go through and cut exactly 1.32 inches off the end.
But only half of it, you know, you can't do it on one side or the other. You have to do it, like, equally on both sides.
Right.
So what you do is you get your guillotine cutter and then it's just shink, shink.
And that's just ribbons going everywhere.
Yes.
Because ribbons are not paper.
No.
Okay. We're probably overthinking this, but...
Yeah, but there's still a good thing
for because I'm pretty sure the option is probably just, you know, we make ribbons of different sizes, right? Probably. We'd be like, okay.
You're making it a lot harder on yourself than you have to. Aw, okay. Okay, so here is the 30 mil.
Yes.
Double follow-up and a question. Hey, casters, I have a question, then realize I keep forgetting to follow up on a couple of previous ones. Follow-ups first. Regarding my poly coworker and her mono girlfriend, stuff's not going so well for them, it seems. Though I think their inability to blend households, I think they have 7 kids between them, is going to kill their relationship far sooner than anything else. I've gotten to a point where I'm trying to nudge her to either drag her girlfriend into couples counseling, give her an ultimatum about instilling house rules that apply to both sets of kids, or something similar as a last resort, because at this rate, things need to change or
cut my life into pieces.
I feel bad, but something has to budge, and that thing is starting to look an awful lot like a mountain. Yeah, 7 kids between 2 folks coming in and, like, 1 person having polyamorous leanings and 1 being strictly mono. Then the fact that there was, like, differing rules between the kids. Ooh, that's what we call a nightmare. So hopefully they can get their shit together, because that's a mess. And when you've got 7 kids, a breakup is going to be messy. Next up. Regarding my anxiety about going to college and school and student loans and such, I actually got back into counseling recently and was diagnosed with ADD pretty much immediately. Turns out having your thoughts be a roiling cesspool of static when it becomes impossible to properly weigh pros and cons contributes heavily to decision-making anxiety, as well as all sorts of motivational problems, which I also currently have. Currently in the experimenting with different medicines and dosages phase. Wish me luck.
Ooh, good luck. Yeah, that can be rough.
The finding the correct balance phase of mental health stuff fucking sucks.
I got a medicine, and I just stuck to it. And I occasionally have very long bouts of depression, although the anxiety is under control. And I'm like, I probably could go and get my medicine adjusted to be more effective. But I'm like, I don't want to actually deal with that. Because I'm like, it's not... I don't know if the cure would be worse than the symptoms.
Yeah.
Dealing with that, you know, and rejiggering my dosage level.
As somebody with a long history of living and loving somebody who has those issues, yes, let me tell you that sometimes the dose is not as good as the cure.
Yeah. And the other thing I'm concerned about is that over the course of time, sometimes your same medicine and your same dose just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And then you have to either switch the dose or route to different medication for a while. So, I mean, I've been on this one med for 5 or 6 years now.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'm not looking forward to experimentation if it ever stops functioning.
Yeah. So, the next part, and now for the actual question. I've seen a handful of comments on art of intersex characters where people attack the artist for referring to said characters as cunt boys and or dick girls, saying it's a transphobic slur and shouldn't be used, or that it's fetishizing of the transitioning body, or it's a degrading term for intersex people, or stuff like that. I understand where they're coming from more or less, but to me it feels like they're overreacting, especially when the art in question is pornographic. For one, most of these characters aren't trans, as far as I'm aware, so that has nothing to do with trans people or transitioning, only tangentially related. As for the intersex deal, yeah, they're that, but intersex encompasses a wide variety of characteristics, and those terms are much more specific. Besides, an artist is most likely going to use the term the commissioner used, so it's not really their fault in the first place. What is your opinion on this? Regards and apologies for getting to sign at least one of the questions I've sent in, Twilight M. Rose. That's when it comes to the terminology used, it heavily depends on is it the artist, the commissioner, or a third party? Because, like, as we discussed earlier, a person's self-identification is their business. Like, there is a lot of contention with, say, art of Transampikos' character, Mikalia. Mikalia is female. She's very flat-chested and gets tagged as a, quote, cunt boy very often on E621.
Mm-hmm.
And this bothers me, and this bothers a lot of people, but the admins...
Bothers the artist, too, I think.
Yeah. Like, so, for... This is against the artist's wishes and whatnot. Mikalia, I really like Mikalia as a character. I dig her design a whole lot. She's currently my wallpaper on my PC. Mm-hmm. I love Sempikos' art because, like, they're the wallpapers I use. I still have my Judy bun on my wallpaper on my iMac, and it's been there since, like, Zootopia came out.
Yeah.
Like, if it's one of those things, like, if the person describes the character as such, like the commissioner or the artist is making an original character, do not steal, that is valid. But I do also see how it could apply extra fetishization to transitioning bodies, because you're like, oh man, I want to meet a cum boy or a dick girl in real life. And, you know, if you're talking, you know, you're hunting down trans folks, trying to get them in bed because you have this fetish that was born of furry art, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's not again, cool. Self-identification, sure. If you are transmasculine and have had top surgery but not bottom or don't intend to get bottom, that's totally fucking valid. If you are transfeminine and have had boob job but haven't had bottom surgery, that's totally fucking valid and cool. But that's you, not like someone being a chaser and wanting to go out with somebody because they fit their specific fetish.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it really boils down to identification of the individual. Like, I have an OC who is transmasc, like, and the character, like, though I'm, like, written out the character, like, as such, they referred to her as that, he would fucking kill you.
You mean if someone referred to him as a cunt boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking kill him with their second best wrench.
Yeah, and it's, I don't like the term because it's, like, it's kind of a rude term anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, right alongside cunt boy and dick girl, it's sort of in the same category as trap. And
yeah.
Trap is widely seen as a slur. And so, like, I kind of feel like cunt boy and dick girl are, like, kind of the same.
They're on the same tier in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Like, they're in the same ballpark. I haven't seen as much offense taken, at least publicly, to those terms, but honestly, trap is a much more common term.
Yeah.
So you see the reaction to it more often. And it's interesting because, like, on my AED account, like, I follow a trans woman who retweets a lot of, like, trans sex workers accounts, you know, people that are, like, cam girls and stuff like that. And, like, a lot of them are, I'm this hot girl sucking my cock, you know, where it's, like, those sort of terms, like, they'll use themselves sometimes as, like, a self-promotional thing.
But do they refer to themselves as traps? Do they refer to themselves as dick girls?
You know, I haven't seen them refer to themselves as traps, but it's just interesting because, like, there's, like, some trans people are like, don't go anywhere near my downstairs.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm totally not comfortable with that being there.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't afford or I don't want to go through the surgery, which is totally understandable because it's kind of a big fucking surgery.
Yeah.
But then there's the others that will, like, in case cam girls will literally put their dick in your face.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a part of myself that I'm showing off and I'm enjoying that I identify as woman. I guess that's less
that, but that's dick also girl, self-identification. Cunt boy.
That's more of like, yeah, your own self-identification.
That's like them identifying themselves as such, which is, I guess that's how it's fine. I mean, that's their choice. It's just, I guess, third parties.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, trap's a slur. Don't use it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it implies that you've been tricked, and a lot of times that implies violence against trans folk.
Yeah, that's
the bad. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's the real problem there. And I cannot believe that the quote gay panic defense is actually still legal in some jurisdiction, that either you discovered that the woman was trans or a gay man hits on you and you freaked out and you beat them up or killed them, and that's a valid defense in court. That is completely fucked.
Yeah.
Like, that should not be a thing, and it is still a thing in, like, several states in the U.S.
Yeah,
and so, I mean, it's really difficult, actually. I honestly don't know what to say to that. I mean, apart from, like I said, that I would put those words in the same category as word that we do recognize as a slur. But it's an artist, and it's an artist's work, and it's like, you also got to consider, like, I'm not one of those people that separates the artist from the art. Like, to me, you're an artist or a writer or something. You put something of yourself in your creation and your creativity. So is this artist a shithead? Are they just like, hey, I am calling this character this thing, and I don't care because I know it pisses people off because I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, here's my hot trap character that I drew. And then when people are like, you shouldn't use that word, it's a slur. And they're like, oh, fuck you, SJW, or something like that. Or is this artist, like, more woke as far as, like, gender terminology and gender fluidity and stuff like that? And maybe they see dick girl as a valid descriptor. So, like, these are words that are, like, they're kind of like, it's not like the N-word or the T-word, where we kind of know where they land. You know, we know what these words are used for, and we know it's not good, right?
Yeah.
It's like, for Dick Girl and Cunt Boy, I'm like, I don't know if we as a society have defined where those words are going yet, as to whether they're acceptable or not. You know, I could be wrong because I'm not incredibly familiar with those terms. Like, I don't use them on a daily basis or I don't see a lot of art like that. So, I mean, maybe there is a general feeling in the trans community of, no, that's just as bad as trap, and you should never fucking say that. And so, you know, that's just a blind spot in my knowledge. So,
yeah, I mean,
hey, if you're trans or NB or anything, have an opinion on that.
Let us know. I mean, it is one of those things. We're both a couple of cis dudes, so we don't have a lot of experience in that. Like,
right.
And like, when it comes to, I've been actually just straight up like, yo, I don't know this. Could one of you fill me in on this? Like, talking about SRS today or an HRT, like timelines of that shit. Cause someone was like, oh, my friend, they came out as trans to me. And then like 20 minutes later was talking about transitioning. I think they're rushing into it. And it's like, one, they've probably been trans a long ass time and haven't told you. And
yeah, they may have told you because their surgery is impending.
Yeah.
And you should probably,
but know, I was like, so I asked some folks, like, hey, how long does this shit normally take? And, like, people, like, just for HRT, just for hormone replacement therapy, was, like, 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
And then, like, for sex reassignment is, like, at least 3. And a huge outlay of cash. Mm-hmm. So nobody is rushing into transitioning. It's not possible that
so
way.
I follow a trans woman on Twitter who's in the writing community who's just had bottom surgery. And, like, her tweeting about taking pain pills and the pain levels. And I'm just like, and I'm imagining surgery in that area of the body. No matter what your gender is, it's a very sensitive area. Biologically. I don't want to think about major operation in that area. It's going to be very unpleasant. So when people say bullshit like trans trenders, or they're just doing this to be popular, or I could decide to be a girl tomorrow. Actually, like, following the story of a couple trans people I know and the shit they're dealing with, either legally or medically, I'm like, nobody would fucking choose this life, let alone just haphazardly on a whim, you know?
Yeah. Anyways.
But, you know, good for her. She's had her surgery and is getting better. But, she tweeted, It was like, what's new pussycat? But it was like, new pussy who this?
Nice. So, yeah, that's kind of our takes on that. And yeah, I mean, if you are trans, NB, whatever, you want to, like, tell us your feelings on the matter, please let us know, because, you know, I only know kind of secondhand from folks, and I'm super happy to listen, because hell if I know. I don't know, so please, if you guys want to educate my dumbass, please.
This really long, rambling answer to the question sort of indicates that we don't actually have a firm answer or opinion other than tell us more, you know, if you have knowledge to share. Because, I mean, gender is like a weirdly fascinating thing to me. And I've been sort of like, it's like in the Starship Troopers, you know, would you like to know more?
Yeah. Hit the button.
I kind of want to know more about it. Like, I was kind of jealous of somebody I was following a while back. They were like going to college and they were like majoring in gender studies. And I was just like, that's got to be so fucking interesting.
Because there's a lot there.
Yeah, yeah. This is what pisses me off about people that are like, no, it's male and female, and it's straight or abnormal, and there's nothing in between. And I'm like, oh, all these, like, gender and sexuality are such a fucking broad, massive, complex thing that there are literally whole master's programs dedicated to the study of this one aspect of humanity. But then you have these other people that are like, here are your two boxes, and everything you do, say, wear, play with as a child all has to fit into one of these two boxes. And it's just so reductive when you think about it, you know?
It's one of those things that we're having to learn later in life, too. Because, if you're growing up, you kind of know it more. But here we are in our, mid-30s or 40s. You know, it's like, we're having to learn now, but at least we're willing to, right?
Right, yeah.
Kids these days are a lot more bisexual in a lot of ways.
Apparently, that was a study. I remember seeing that a couple of years ago. Like, the headline was, millennials are the most bisexual generation ever, I think was the clickbaity headline. But, like, there was actually, the article was, like, there was actually studies behind this where, like, a much larger percentage of millennials than previous generations were just sort of like, yeah, I'll date whoever. You know, so that's pretty cool. I think people getting less hung up on gender and sexuality is always a good thing.
Yep. Chill the fuck out, folks. Let people explore themselves. All right. So as it is now nearing 10 o'clock, if not past, oh goodness, it's past 10 o'clock. We should wrap this up because we're also well past an hour and a half here. So you guys can always contact us again, southpawscast@gmail.com. You can email, send us messages on Telegram at southpawscast.tumblr.com. You can find me on Twitter at Saverin Drake. You can find me on Twitch at Saverin. I finally picked up Kingdom Hearts 1.5, 2.5, Taco Time, EX Plus Alpha, Remix, whatever, all the, cause it comes like the two games and then like four other things with it. I had both the games on PlayStation 2. They were stolen. I had them on PlayStation 3, but never was able to stream them. So I never
played. Is this another game company that can never make a part 3?
Yes. Or something? Okay. And then I was at Toys R Us and they had the PS4 version and I was like, all right, fuck it. I bought it for $30 and I can actually probably get to streaming that. And so Fuzz, where can they find your bullshits?
You can find me on Twitter as FuzzWolf and you can find my companies, my print books and comics are at For Planet and ForPlanet.com. Ebook site is Bad Dog Books, baddogbooks.com. You can also find us on Patreon at patreon.com/southpawscast if you want to support the show. And we just put like a bunch of new stuff up on Bad Dog Books as ebooks. So, go check that out. It's fun. I was actually really surprised. Like I mostly use for business, I use the For Planet account. And I hadn't looked at the Bad Dog Books profile page in a while. And it's got over 700 followers.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, wow. Like the last time I checked it, there was like 130 followers or something like that. So more people are paying attention to it, which is really nice. Also, like once again, like we have this small but extremely dedicated fandom. Like this tweet I put out about an ebook the other day ended up with like 30 fucking retweets from like everybody in the furry writing community. Nice. which is really nice that people are supporting the business, so I appreciate that. I don't know if we have anything else to say. Turns at a wedding right now. Our next con is Anthrocon.
Shiva's got a new car.
I'm sure she'll tell us about that next week.
Yep.
And yeah, that's
gonna wrap it up for this one, because
pretty much, yeah, there's other stuff going on in the fandom right now, I'm sure. But well,
the other show that I'm watching is Westworld. It's pretty cool.
I haven't seen that at all, because it's on HBO and it's not in streaming service, as far as I know.
Yeah, well, we'll discuss that another time, because it's lengthy and I have lots of feelings. It's really cool, though. Anyways, okay. On that note, good night.
And Westworld.
Yeehaw!
Big robot.